army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. You're listening to Chai FM. I'm the Kosher Butcher's wife and I'm Sharon Lurie. So, cooking-wise, I hope it's been a lot of fun the last few weeks, creating, making, experimenting with different flavors until your family give you the double thumbs up. Now, I must say that my family are getting tired of telling me, as I'm sure I've told you once before, Mom, this is perfect, okay? Because they say that I never ever cook it again. And I say, well, you know, I love experimenting. So what's the point of cooking that again if I've perfected it? Write it down, keep it. When you feel like it again, I'll make it for you. Anyway, I know a lot of people have their signature dishes. I have two, obviously, a couple. But I want you to phone in or WhatsApp. It's all you have to do, WhatsApp on 061-895-1019 or SMS on 34519. Let me know, what's your favorite dish? What is your signature dish? What is it that everybody says, oh, do me a favor, make your blah, blah, blah? I'm dying to hear what people's signature dishes are all about. So, well, if there weren't enough allergies floating around in my house, my husband has unfortunately been diagnosed with diabetes. So we've started a no sugar, no carbs, basically a keto diet. And I must say, it's 9 kilos already. I can't believe it. And so my house has fast become a gluten-free, dairy-free, and now sugar-free zone. So sugar-free experimenting has really been at the fore this week. And I think this recipe for sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, I know what some of you are saying. What? Yeah, actually, and taste-free too, Sharon. But no, it was quite nice. Actually, it's been fun trying new dishes with all sorts of things like xylitol and agave syrup and coconut sugar. Anyway, it's been fun. So I made some bread. Now, okay, it wasn't a delicious bagel zone bagels, but it was in a zone of its own. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to share zone of its own bread. So you can go and get your pens and your paper ready to share a couple of recipes coming up.
Army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
You're listening to the Cooking Corner on Chai FM. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife. And, oh, we've had one SMS in, Karen, who says, peri-peri chicken wings aren't just her favorite, but her signature dish as well. Come on, guys, get those signature dishes pouring in, or even your favorites. Maybe it will give me an idea of what to make for supper tonight. Okay, so let me share zone of its own bread. You need to preheat the oven to 180. You will need 2 egg whites, 2 egg whites with yolks, so that's 2 full eggs. So you can keep the other 2 egg yolks for challah on Friday night to paint your challah. You'll also need 1/4 cup of coconut oil. I like to keep mine in the cupboard. You'll notice that coconut oil changes consistency. Sometimes it's liquid depending on the day, and sometimes it's hard. So I keep mine in the cupboard. 2/3 cup of warm water. And instead of water, if you want to go the dairy route, the milk route, use 1 less egg, remove the water, and substitute this with 250 mils of lovely, luscious, Greek, thick, fatty yogurt. Then you'll also need 2 cups of about 200 grams of almond flour and 2 tablespoons of psyllium husk powder. As I told you once before, it's spelled P-S-Y-L-L-I-U-M, psyllium husk powder, silent P. You'll need 1.5 teaspoons baking powder and 1/2 teaspoon of xanthan gum. But if you don't have xanthan gum, which is spelled X-A-N-T-H-A-N, then use 2 teaspoons of baking powder. That's fine. A pinch of salt and 1 cup of mixed seeds. It's lovely. You can get sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, chai seeds, linseeds, all mixed together. In fact, you can get at most places a lovely breakfast mix, which is all those seeds together in 1 packet and just take off 1 cup. So what you do is you combine all the wet ingredients. Okay, mix them all together. So you're taking the water and the eggs or the yogurt, coconut oil, mix that all together. And then you can, then you add the dry ingredients to the wet ingredients, mix it all together and bake it at 180 for, I would say, 45 minutes. Now, little tip, little secret here. Because it's quite a flat bread, I put it into a small loaf tin. So it actually would give it more height and more depth, so to speak. So it didn't look like a flat piece of bread that hadn't risen. So the secret is to pull it into a smaller loaf tin. And then what I did was I baked it on 180 for about 45 minutes and I reduced it to 120 and left it in for another 10 minutes. Okay, so then now, we ate it for about 2 days and then my husband said, I don't know whether he was being facetious. He said, now what can we do with this bread, Char? Anything we can do to add a little bit of flavor? So I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut it very, very thin and I'm going to toast it. I'm going to turn them into little, rusks and they were really great. You can put whatever you want on fish spread, fish paste, peanut butter. They really were quite delicious. So, instead of leaving it in the fridge, I sliced it up into thin slices and I baked this on low for nearly an hour. Was about 120, 110, 120, until it dried out and was so nice and crispy. But if you just had crowns put in whatever, be careful. Just be careful how you bite it. Rather bite on the back teeth. So, coming up today also in the show is a wonderful guest by the name of Naomi Nachman. She's an author. She's a radio personality. She is really everything that, all that and more. A personality which is beyond anything imaginable. I can't imagine her ever in a bad mood. But before I quickly go to her, because I see I've got another minute or two, I have to share something, a memory from the past. And this was, I don't know if you remember Juicy Lucy. Do you remember Juicy Lucy? Well, this is Juicy Lucy. They were called cheese melts. Okay. And these cheese melts were often, I found this recipe. It was so wonderful going through one of my mother's black little A4 recipe books. And there I found it on this tea stained yellow page. The recipe for Juicy Lucy's rye bread cheeses. Okay, so what you will need for this is 1 loaf of rye bread, and you want to get a nice dark loaf. In fact, we used the loaf from Shoshana's. It was 100% rye bread. I think she keeps it in the freezer there. And it's a good idea to keep it in your fridge, but it really is delicious. And I know everybody's going rah crazy. So this is a good one to use. Or a nice, dark, rich loaf. You'll need 1 cup of grated cheddar cheese. And I would grate it on the smaller side of your grater box. You'll need 1/2 cup of mayonnaise. And now this is where the fun starts. So you mix the cheese and the mayonnaise together. And you can either add tuna fish, chopped asparagus, mushrooms, red and green peppers, or whatever you have a mouth for, capers, spring onions, onions, anything. And you toast the bread, and you set it aside. Okay, now you've combined the cheese and the mayonnaise at this point, and then you could add to that all those different mixtures that I've suggested. Obviously, you're going to drain the mushrooms, the asparagus, if it's tinned, and the tuna. And you microwave that just for 30 seconds, just to sort of bring it all together. And then, and take about, I would say, 2 to 3 tablespoons of this lovely sauce and mixture and spread it over the toast and then put it under the griller. But I think more important than that is you need to put it onto some tin foil and then put it onto your tray and then cook it, because it does tend to bubble up, and you can put it under the griller. It's no harm in that. Let it get brown and bubbly, but it does bubble up over onto, you know, the tray or some tin foil. And that was absolutely delicious. And we served it with a little bit of ground pepper, a couple of spring onions. And there was a lovely Sunday lunch meal with a lovely salad. How many you can make from this? I don't know. It depends. You just need to add more cheese and more mayonnaise and more mushrooms for the amount of people that are going to be eating it. And more toast, of course. So after the break, we'll be coming back with a little interview that I had with Naomi Nachman. And I will share some of her wonderful recipes with you as well.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
So as I said, after the break, we'd be chatting to Naomi Nachman, author and radio show host on the Nachum Segal Network. And she was out here on safari, and hence the bad audio that I'm going to be playing. But let me tell you a little bit about Naomi. She's a renowned round the world cooking teacher. She literally goes round the world teaching. She's a food columnist. She's a recipe developer and a personal chef. Her first book, Perfect for Pesach, shares her passion and enthusiasm for cooking, for serving it, eating and sharing amazing food every single day. And her latest book, Perfect Flavors, brings us exotic recipes from all over the world, with all favorites with a new twist. So you'll most certainly find what you need amongst these delicious and doable recipes. And I know that it is available. I don't want to give too many recipes after the interview, because I know that this book is available and this is a must on the shelf book. So let's go to the interview. Naomi.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
How are you?
Okay. And you're welcome to South Africa. It is so wonderful to have you on my show.
Oh, I can't believe I'm here.
I know. We spoke about it for so long.
And we're on the same time zone.
Yeah. Finally. Normally I have to wait about, till 4 o'clock in the afternoon to chat. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
So before we get cut off.
This is amazing.
I'm going to start off with, how did a kid from Sydney, Australia, grow up to become a culinary educator, cookbook author, and food influencer in the United States? Can you take us through your little journey?
I don't know. I don't know how it all happened. It just kind of was one big evolution or revolution. I don't know. Everything. It's been everything. I just, you know, I started off as a teacher. I was always been very creative. And then, you know, one thing led to another. I started teaching kids. If you can teach kids, you can teach cooking. And then, you know, I've always been interested in cooking. It's the breaking and giving it over. If you can do that, it could be with anything, right? From mathematics to cooking. And it just grew from there. And then I got my own radio show about cooking, because I'm so passionate and so excited about food. And then I do things on kosher.com. I do cooking videos on kosher.com. I write for Mishpacha magazine. Then I had this opportunity to write a cookbook with Art Scroll for Pesach 2 years ago, and then now again Perfect Flavors, and it's just been a wild ride. And people like you are my inspiration.
Ah, me.
Why me?
Yes, you.
So now, are you able to eat well here in South Africa? Are you enjoying the food so far? Food in South Africa. How have you found it? Don't you find it a lot easier? You know, I've just come back from London, and wherever I went, I had to take my little book with me. Here, everything has got the Beth Din stamp on, and it's fantastic. Just like in America, you've got the Circle U.
Yeah, it's been quite easy. I have to say I'm being well taken care of. I'm here on safari and everything's, a lot of the stuff is provided for me. But you know, when I went to the supermarket and I went to Nussbaum's, you know, it definitely makes it much easier, but the quality of the ingredients are much higher. I find that the taste of the vegetables much richer because I feel like it's not, it's more farm to table. And I'm more yes. seasonal food I'm eating. Could I say that? Like,
yeah,
does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Because your tomatoes are like bursting with flavor, but this is your summer season.
Yes.
When tomatoes grow. Like, the meats are incredible. The lamb last night that we had was beyond delicious. We put nothing on the lamb, straight onto the braai. Did I say it right?
100%. Beautiful. The braai.
Oh, braai. Just say we say barbie. In America, you say barbecue. I'm like a mixed breed. And the lamb went onto the hot coals on the braai, and it was amazing. Like, we were licking our fingers. Like, everything is just very, the meats are so flavorful. The meat on Shabbat was amazing. Like, we stayed with friends. It's just incredible. And the warmth of the community was unbelievable. Everywhere we went, everyone's so friendly.
Yeah, we're a very lucky community. We're very warm and hospitable, and you know, a lot of people say that about South Africans. But then so are you. I mean, you arrive in America and Naomi's there, ready, waiting for you. Anyway, but now
front and center.
Let's talk a little bit about your beautiful new book called Perfect Flavors. Now, I have to tell you, before you do anything, you've, especially now at this time of the year, everybody, go out and buy both books. Get Perfect for Pesach and now Perfect Flavors.
Sharon, I actually signed a whole bunch of books in the Kollel bookstore. They're waiting for everyone.
Oh, fantastic.
I already signed copies so people can go in and buy those copies at the Kollel bookshop.
Yes. Fantastic. Okay, so we'll do that. Just looking, I mean, this book is absolutely beautiful. It really is. And it's spelled Flavors, everybody. F-L-A-V-O-R-S. Without the U.
Yeah, they made me the American. I'm sorry.
The American way.
No, they made me a mock copy for myself with a U in it.
Oh, did they? Okay. Especially for you. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Now, I read expand your palate. Okay, now I just love this idea. But you say, don't skip over a recipe just because you didn't recognize the spices in an Indian dish or you were scared to try a raw fish recipe. So try this. Now this is it. This is what I really love because this is what we did last Shabbos. Every Shabbat, experiment with one new recipe that you have never tasted before. I can't promise you won't have some you won't like, but at least trying them will give you a chance to experience new flavors. And that is something that I believe in so strongly. And what did I make? Ceviche. So can you share your ceviche recipe with us?
Okay, so I actually was very lucky and I got to go to Panama.
Yes.
Last February, I went on a kosher tour called Miriam Schreiber's Kosher Legacy Tours. She's based out of Chicago and she runs kosher tours all around the world. And she invites me and my husband to come on for me to give cooking classes on the tour. So we went to Panama. Panama has 15,000 Jews and 50 kosher restaurants. It's mind blowing. So many kosher restaurants.
How many kosher restaurants?
The
50.
Over 50.
Wow.
50. And each one is magnificent. Delicious, delicious. Mainly a Sephardi Syrian-based community, and it was just divine. But in every restaurant, you have something called ceviche.
Yes.
It is it's literally everywhere on every menu. It's a South American dish. It's Peruvian in origin, but it's made its way up to Panama, and it is just, ceviche is raw fish cooked in acid. It's right. usually a little bit spicy, but mine, I created around the Rosh Hashanah, Simanim.
Ah,
so I
okay.
call it Simanim Ceviche. So it's got yes. pomegranate and apples in it and honey, all the things that you'll find in a Rosh Hashanah, you know, Siman on a Rosh Hashanah table. That's what I put in my ceviche. I thought it was a really good way of incorporating Simanim and fish. Cause you know, traditionally you start a meal on Shabbat or all the holidays with right. a fish. So I thought, let's make it an intro with Simanim and fish. And it was like a big hit.
What a brilliant idea. Because what I did this Shabbos, I did it with salmon and I cut it really very, very thin. And obviously I made it yeah. more like a salad and, I didn't tell them what it was. And they gobbled it up. They really did. They really did.
It's now, delicious.
It is. It's absolutely wonderful. But now, I think I just should go back a little into the contents of the book. Okay, so you have everything from dough to appetizers to salads to soups, fish, poultry, meat, dairy, desserts, salad. I mean, it's incredible what's in here. So let's go on to my favorite, which is meat. Now, I saw the most wonderful recipe here for brisket fries. Okay.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Wow.
You know, I went yes. to Memphis to do a cooking demo for Chabad of Memphis. A shout out to Rebbetzin Rivki Klein. She was amazing.
Yes.
And she's the Chabad Rebbetzin. Every year she brings someone different down to do a Rosh Hashanah women's circle, which people are used to having. It's like it's either a class or a cooking demo, or a demonstration of something that every month, the Chabad women host.
Right.
So she had me come down and do a Rosh Hashanah meal. And while I was down there, of course, I have to visit the one and only kosher restaurant in Memphis, Tennessee, of course. Yes. I love seeing every single, being the traveler junkie that I am, I have to see every iconic site. So, of course, I went to Graceland. And I went to see Beale Street, and I went to see where Martin Luther King was shot. Like, I went to all the, like, iconic sites. And then, of course, mm-hmm. we go to the kosher restaurant called Holy Cow.
Yes.
And they had this thing called brisket fries.
Mm-hmm.
And it was delicious. So, but it was on french fries with meat and coleslaw. So I didn't want to do regular french fries because that seemed too simple for a cookbook. But I developed my own, like, wedges, a recipe for wedges with brisket, with my own version of slaw base of this recipe. And I actually mentioned that Sally Ostrov, the owner, not Sally,
Shelly Ostrov.
Shelly Ostrov, yeah. Of course. Sorry.
Yes.
You know, you think you know your entire book by heart. At some point you do, but in the brain, yeah,
absolutely.
You know, a little stuffed with food.
Yeah, you get people who phone you and they say, Sean, that recipe for blah, blah, blah with pomegranates. Well, there's a lamb one, there's a chicken one. I know exactly what you're saying. You forget.
Sean, I don't know, not one recipe. I know two recipes by heart, challah and potato coco. Everything else, even my own recipes, I have to check every time I make it.
Okay, so sorry, I interrupted you. You were talking about brisket fries.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, so that my brisket fries were inspired by the ones I had in Memphis. And I just, like, I love them.
Right. So now, every recipe is from a different country, would you say? Go so far as to say?
Not every recipe, yeah. Some recipes. Like my quiche, which is a combination of quiche and pizza.
Yes.
The quiche that tastes like a pizza.
Right.
So that I made up. Like, you know, my daughter loves both, and I blended one up for her, and there you go. And then, like, a lot of things are just, you know, some are a little bit more fancy for Simcha or Yom Tov for Shabbat. And
right.
some, like, winner chicken dinner has
yes.
become such a big hit. And I would say two other big hits besides, I mean, people are loving the salads, but, and most of the recipes, thank God, but two things that I've really come is the lotus biscuit, the lotus butter bars have just gone, everyone's gone crazy,
yes.
and that miso onion soup in the crock pot that I have, the flanken onion soup in the crock pot
oh,
with miso
yes,
in it.
It looks
people
delicious.
Have gone crazy. Do you sell miso in your store or? Is it available?
I think it is available somewhere. I'm not quite sure. But they should have it, yeah. I think they should have it.
Yeah, miso. You can find it at health food stores. It needs, you know, certification.
Yes.
You've got to make sure you're buying the right one.
Right.
But it's just such umami flavor and deep, rich, earthy flavor. And it's amazing. I have it quite, you know, you don't just use it once
yes.
or twice in, It's in a few different recipes, so you definitely get, and it's a couple bucks. It's not expensive, or ran, I should say.
Okay.
And it's just it's incredible.
Yeah, with you're doing very well with your dollar to rand, and you even pronounce it so well. It's must be the most wonderful holiday for you guys. Aren't you enjoying that?
You know, I am enjoying everything. Every aspect of this vacation is amazing. Now, I live in New York currently. Right now in New York, it's about minus 10 degrees Celsius.
I saw.
And I'm sitting out by a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Outside, I'm in, where am I? Hippo Hills.
Yeah.
I'm overlooking Kruger Park in a beautiful hotel, and it's just great. Ellie Rayport has been our chef that's been cooking up a storm over here and brying for us. So
oh, wonderful.
We're doing great.
Fantastic. And
yeah.
The animals?
From Cape Kosher. Just give it a shout out. Animals. I'm looking at elephants. I'm lying by my pool, and there's an elephant that, you know, across the way. There's an elephant walking by. We're like, ah! And we went on safari, and the first thing we saw, the first 2 minutes, we see a pride of lions.
No way. That's lucky. That is really lucky.
Oh, we were like in heaven, and we saw a sunrise tour and sunset tour, and it's just... it's just incredible. It's such a beautiful country. I've always wanted to come to Africa. Especially South Africa. I've met so many South Africans over my lifetime being an Australian. And I'm so happy to be here. It's a beautiful country, beautiful people, beautiful food. The Jewish community is the best. It's just so warm and divine. And I can't believe I'm here with you all.
Well, I was looking through some of the recipes. And I see you've got corned beef. I mean, when did you go to London? Have you been to London?
I have been to London.
Okay.
It's been nearly 20 years since I was there last.
Okay. But so the corned beef recipe, maybe that takes you back a little bit to those days. And then your pina colada halibut. Wow. Okay. So I don't think we get halibut.
So you can use any white fish, even salmon. I've done it. I find fish in general, you can... you know, mix around. Not tuna. Tuna, you got to keep it medium rare or raw, or don't open up a can.
Well, I can hear that everybody's rearing to go. I don't want to keep you any longer. I will share some recipes with everybody. Have the most wonderful, wonderful time and enjoy Cape Town.
Thank you so much.
You are going to love Cape Town as well. But you love South Africa, so Cape Town is just a cherry on the top.
Oh, I can't wait. I really can't wait to go.
You're going to have a great time. Wonderful to speak to you. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Enjoy
thank
your
you, South Africa, for having me.
We're all going out here to buy your book.
Thank you so much.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
It's the Chai FM show. It's Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife. And we've just been chatting to Naomi Nachman, who was in South Africa, the author of Perfect Flavors. And she was talking about her simanim ceviche. So now, or ceviche, as some people like to call it. So now I'm going to give you her recipe. And it really is worth making. And in fact, I'm going to give you a whole Shabbos menu from her book. But it's worth your while going out to get this book, because there are so many recipes that are so outstanding. Anyway, so let's talk about the simanim ceviche. Ceviche isn't considered raw. As she says, it is cured with citrus juices and the acids cook the protein. This dish originated in South America, and I created it as a Rosh Hashanah-inspired appetizer. But it's welcome at the table all year round, and it really is. So you'll need 500 grams of, as she said, halibut or salmon or any white fish. You will need 1.5 teaspoons of kosher salt. One thing before I carry on, preferred using a frozen piece of salmon or hake if you want to use it, whatever your preference is, because it was just a lot easier to cut it just that little bit finely. 1.5 teaspoons of kosher salt, 1/2 cup of fresh lemon juice, 1/4 cup of fresh lime juice, 1 jalapeno pepper, seeded and finely chopped, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1/4 cup of fresh cilantro or parsley chopped, 1 apple, green apples diced. Now, I prefer to slice mine into very thin. What I did was I cored it, peeled it, and sliced it into very, cut in half, and then sliced it into very sort of moon-shaped, thin, crispy, crunchy apples, as I did with the salmon or the halibut. I didn't cut into small cubes. I sliced it very thinly. But you can cut into cubes if you want as well. You'll also need 1/2 cup of pomegranate seeds and 1/2 cup of shredded carrots, 1 leek, the white part only, so you'll check that and then you can finally slice it up finely, and 1 tablespoon of celan, which is date honey. If you can't find date honey, then just use a regular good honey, not these cheap syrups that you find on the shelves. And then you can use tortilla chips for serving. That's optional. So what you do is you cut your fish into small cubes or into thin layers and add to a glass bowl and you sprinkle it with salt. You marinate it for 30 minutes in the fridge. You add lemon juice and lime juice. You add jalapeno, chopped up, the oil, pepper, cilantro, which is, cilantro is coriander. In South Africa, apple, pomegranate seed, carrots, leek, and celan. And you cover and you refrigerate it for at least 2 to 4 hours. And then you just, with the taste, just adjust it. If you feel it needs a bit more salt, add a little bit more salt. And then you just serve it with tortilla chips. Now, she gives an option for cooked fish as well. But this does work quite well with the hot peppered salmon that you can get, or trout, the hot pepper trout, and you just break that up if you're scared that your family are going to freak out about the raw fish. Okay, so that was the ceviche. Now we are going to talk about the brisket fries that she loves and that we made and we love too. So it is a 2 kilo piece of second cut brisket. Okay, so butchers generally cut a whole brisket crosswise. So there are actually 2 pieces of brisket. The flatter one, which is the one that most people know for hoppy von Ryan, for, cold meats, the flatter one. Or the second cut, which is also known as a point, and it's that thicker piece. Now I know that I love that top piece. Whenever I cook brisket, I always make sure that I do have both pieces, because that top piece, or the point, the second piece, is beautiful and warm and makes the brisket nice and fatty and juicy, and you need to use the top piece as well. So she says, take the second cut piece of brisket. Okay, you'll need 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon paprika, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 large onion sliced, and 1 cup of your favorite barbecue sauce ready made. And then the fries, you'll need 1/4 cup of olive oil, 8 nice big potatoes peeled and cut into wedges, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 teaspoons of dried minced onion. You get that in the spice section. 1 teaspoon of paprika. 1 teaspoon garlic powder. 1 tablespoon whole grain mustard. And then, of course, the last thing that you're going to put on quite liberally is 1 cup of mayonnaise, 4 to 5 cloves of garlic, 2 teaspoons of kosher salt, 1 tablespoon honey, and 1 teaspoon of whole grain mustard, and the juice of 1 lemon. So there are quite a few things, but it's all the things that we've got in our cupboards already. And what you do is you put the oven on to 125, and in a small bowl you mix the spices together and you sprinkle them over the meat. Okay, so your garlic powder, your paprika, salt, minced onion, whatever, the mustard. Okay, you put that, sprinkle them over the meat, and you place the onion slices into a roasting pan large enough to hold the meat. You place the seasoned meat onto the onions, pour the barbecue sauce over the meat and cover it tightly, and you roast it until it's tender for about 3 hours. Okay, then you cool it slightly. And using two forks, you shred the meat and you set it aside. It's what we call pulled brisket. And to prepare the fries, what she does is she preheats the oven to quite high. So it's about 200, and then she lines it with two pieces of parchment paper. She sets it aside, and in a large bowl, she tosses together the potato wedges, the oil, the spices, and the mustard until it's all well combined. Divides the potato between the prepared baking sheets and roasts that for about 40 minutes or until it's brown. And then you assemble the brisket fries by arranging the potatoes on a platter, lovely big platter, topped with pulled brisket. Drizzle it with a garlic mayonnaise. You can make more garlic mayonnaise if you feel that this isn't enough. And you serve it immediately. If you want to, you can serve it with her spicy slaw, which is also in the book. And away you go with a beautiful brisket. I mean, the vegetables included, the spicy slaw is included. If I have time, I will give you the recipe for the spicy slaw. I think I do have time, Craig, before my next break. Can I quickly give the spicy slaw? Okay. And that you eat with the meat and the potatoes. And you know, they love having a big bowl or a big platter put in front of them and just being allowed to help themselves and just take whatever they need. So, her daughter Gabriella made the slaw recipe over and over till she perfected it for us. And we make it for every Shabbat. And we also pile it on the brisket fries, which I said before. So you'll need one jalapeno pepper, ribs and seeds removed, 1/4 cup of mayonnaise, 1 tablespoon chili powder, juice of 2 limes, 2 teaspoons of salt, and a 1 pound, which is 500 gram bag of shredded green cabbage and coleslaw mix, and once more carrot shredded. And you just basically shred everything up together in your food processor, and then just combine the mayonnaise and all the ingredients for the dressing, and you place the carrot, cabbage, everything in a large bowl, toss it all together, and do this about 20 minutes before you're going to serve it, so that the cabbage absorbs all the lovely tastes before serving. Okay, after the break, I'll come back with another recipe.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and we're live on Chai FM. And I've just got a message. I must apologize. It says, could Sharon talk slower when giving a recipe? It is really impossible to write so quickly. I know, but I get so excited about giving recipes. I just want to give so many. That's why I do talk quickly. But I promise you I'm going to slow down, and I'm going to give the producer all the recipes that I am sharing with you today. So she'll put it up on the Chai FM site. So this year is Sinai Encore, and Rabbanit Yemimi Mizrahi recently voted one of Israel's most influential women, explores the power of femininity and sisterhood, showing how throughout Jewish history women have joined together to fight for the integrity of the home all over the world. strong, passionate, supportive women are holding things together. All this and so much more at this year's Sinai Encore. Book now at sinaindaba.co.za or Computicket. And it will be on the 24th of February in Cape Town, the 27th in Durban, and Johannesburg on the 2nd and 3rd of March. Seats are limited. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little slower. I'm sorry to those out there. In fact, my husband has actually also said to me, sure, you need to talk a little slower. Not everybody's got the internet. Not everybody can write as quickly as you're talking. So this is a recipe that I'm going to share with you from Naomi's book, Perfect Flavors, which is available at Kulal Bookshop, and it's called Anzac Biscuits. Now, Anzac Biscuits are a classic Australian cookie. Anzac stands for Australian New Zealand Army Corps. During World War I, Australian soldiers were sent to the European front. Their wives wanted to send them homemade treats that could be mailed on a 6-week journey across the sea. These biscuits travelled well and have become iconic. We Aussies, as she says, have continued to eat them for the last 100 years. Okay. So we have half a cup. We'll need half a cup of canola oil, 2 tablespoons. Sorry, I was just reading another SMS while that one was, while I was giving the recipe. So half a cup of canola oil, 2 tablespoons of hot water, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 2 tablespoons of molasses, 1 cup of old-fashioned oats, that would be like our jungle oats, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 1 cup of light brown sugar, and 1 cup of sweetened shredded coconut. Okay, so that would be our desiccated coconut. We preheat the oven to 350, which is 180. We line 2 baking sheets with parchment paper. We set that aside. In a large bowl, we mix together the oil, the hot water, the baking soda, and molasses. In a second bowl, we mix together the oats, the flour, the sugar, and the coconut. And we add the mixture to the wet ingredients and just mix it to combine. You form a dough into 1-inch balls, so it'll be about 2.5 centimeter balls. Place them on the prepared baking sheets. Lightly press them down on each biscuit with the palm of your hand. You may have to wet your hand a little. And you bake them for about 15 minutes until they're golden brown and nice and crispy. So there you have, I mean, simple, easy Anzac biscuits, which you can have for desserts. You can make your brisket. You can make your ceviche. You can make your salad. I mean, there's just a lot that we can do for this Shabbos. So with that, I'd say bid you all farewell. See you in 2 weeks' time, or you'll hear from me in 2 weeks' time. And remember, it's eating meat that makes this show complete. Thank you for listening.